Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew. I am, of course, William Amo. What's up, Mac?
Hey, well, what's up, man? How's it going?
I'm good, man. Good to have you on the show, man.
Glad to be on, as usual.
It's good to have you there, man. You know, we got a busy day. Doing it on a special day, and you know, we're going to talk about the NFL draft, the latest situation with the Yankees right now in Anaheim playing the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Talk about the Phillies series where Mets won 2 out of 3. The NFL draft, you know, the Jets and the Giants picks at 3 and 6, you know, overall. And talk a little NBA, and of course talk about WWE, you know, with Bray Wyatt's shocking new gimmick, and of course Kofi being betrayed by Kevin Owens, the betrayer of all betrayers. We'll get into that at the end of the show, but most importantly, what you might call it. You could call us at I'm trying to remember the number. 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free, give us a call. You know, we'd love to hear from you. But yeah, let's dive in to baseball right now. And you know, kudos to your Yankees, man. They are red hot. They might have a bunch of people on the IR. Yes, I still call it the DL, but for whatever reason, baseball changed it from DL to IL. You know, for whatever reason, I don't understand it. You know, for decades they've been saying the DL, but now they call it the IL. I don't know. I guess they wanted to be hip with the times. And with other sports or whatnot, I don't know why, but yeah, the Yankees have they have a bunch of all stars on the DL. I mean, it sounds like I'm talking about the Mets, you know, year after year, you know, having players on the DL. But you know, kudos to the Yankees, even though they've lost practically their whole team, Stanton and Judge and now Clint Frazier. I mean. You know, the Yankees, they're still playing to their potential, man. They're still, you know, in the thick of things, man. And they're trying to win their 7th in a row. They're leading 4-0 last time I checked in Anaheim. So, yeah, the Yankees, they pick up the slack for one another. And of course, yesterday, DJ LeMahieu, not to be confused by the great radio guy, DJ Macaulay Matthew, you know, he produced yesterday, including the game winner, you know. CC, he didn't pitch well, but he's 3 strikeouts away from 3,000 in his final season. So, you know, that's another guy, you know, on the team that's, you know, holding down the fort for, you know, the injured list Yankees. And then, of course, you got the young Jonathan Loaisiga, who pitched well out of the pen. So all in all, from a Yankee fan, what's your thoughts on the Yankees right now?
Well, I mean, right now they're playing well. You know, this I've never seen a season like it where you have 13 players on the injured list, and you have over 500 RBIs on the IL right now. You have Judge, Stanton, Andujar, Ickes, you know, our top hitters on the injury list. And then you have, like, these guys called up from the minors, the AAA system, like Mike Ford, Gio Urshela, Tyler Wade, Mike Toshman. And these have been the guys that have been producing and stepping up. And, you know, they've been playing small ball. And we've been fortunate enough to win six games in a row. I think, eight of our last nine or nine of our last 10, I think, something like that. So, I mean, these guys have been the replacement Avengers for the real Avengers, you know, that are on the injury list right now. But they've been playing well, you know, playing old school small ball and helping us win and holding down the fort until the big guys return. But, you know, right now the Yankees, it looks like the Angels just tied the game at 4-4. So, you know, Yankees are looking to keep the streak alive. But, yeah, I mean, it's been a strange season so far. You know, so many guys injured, but yet the Yankees are winning. It's very strange.
Yep. On the other hand, I'm very used to a New York team having a bunch of all-stars injured all the time. I believe they call them the New York Mets. You know? As a matter of fact, the Mets still have some guys on the IL, you know, Cespedes, Jed Lowry, who hasn't made his Met debut, and then Pat Frazier, he just debuted a few days ago, and he returned to the Mets lineup in grand fashion in his second day ever, this season. What day was that? Tuesday. He hit a grand slam. That was the Zach Wheeler game, where Zach Wheeler pitched seven innings, walked nobody. Yes, let me repeat. Zach Wheeler did not walk anybody. I mean, that's an anomaly, generally speaking. I mean, even though he had, for the most part, he's been great since last year, even though he had a couple of bad starts this year. But, you know, he went seven, struck out 11, no walks, knocked in, had a two-run RBI hit, and then his first career home run. So, I mean, Zach Wheeler did it all. You know?
Sounds like it.
And he's the, what, third Met to go deep this year. DeGrom, you know, had a home run, his first home run this year, I believe. I'm trying to think who else homered. Syndergaard, a few days ago, had a Dexter Fowler assisted home run because it bounced off Dexter Fowler's glove when he leaped and it went in, you know, went over the wall for a home run. Not to be confused with Jose Canseco's home run that went off his head and bounced straight over the wall like decades ago. But, you know, it was a sight to see, you know. And, of course, then Wheeler just went deep as well. So, you know, the Mets have been playing well. They dominated the Phillies. The Tuesday night game, you know, they won 9-0. But there was some drama, you know, because, towards the end of the game, Rame, you know, a pitcher for the Mets, he threw at Hoskins. And folks, remember that. If you're not a you know, baseball fan or, you know, not familiar with the National League East, remember that name, Rhys Hoskins, because I'm going to mention him in a minute or two. So basically, he threw at him, and of course, you know, Hoskins was not happy about it. And then afterwards, he walked him when he threw a pitch that, went almost over his head again, and he glared at him, you know, as he walked into first base. So, you know, of course, Mets was able to hold on to that game. And, of course, that was, the first game, the Mets won that game. And Harper, he was just being dominated the whole game. And not to mention the whole series, he struck out the whole series, and he got ejected out of the game. the first game, and Jake Arrieta, you know, the starting pitcher of Tuesday night, you know, he was saying, like, you know, they need him out there. You know, the Phillies need Bryce Harper out there. You know, he can't be getting himself tossed out. And I'm in 100% agreement of Arrieta. You know, Harper, you know, he's the, what, the $330 million man. You know, he has to be in the lineup every day. You know,
yeah.
you can't let the opposition get in your head for you to get yourself tossed out of the game. And yeah, he was arguing with the umpire, you know, and the umpire tossed him out when he was in the dugout. He wasn't even at the plate. Well, apparently he was still arguing his strikeout from, you know, previously. And, you know, he got tossed out, you know, and then of course Gabe Kapler came out to defend his player. But, you know, the Mets won the first two games, and you know, the Phillies weren't happy about what happened on Tuesday night, and not to mention Arrieta on Tuesday night was saying that their team was flat, you know. So basically, fast forward to Wednesday. You got Jason Vargas on the mound, and you know, on the mound, that's an automatic L. However, to his credit, these past two games, he has pitched better. He hasn't went deep into the games, but he did show some promise. His last start before yesterday, he went four innings. Nicky Callaway didn't even bring him to make him start the fifth inning, which I wasn't happy about that. And as you all know, I'm a president of the Jason Vargas fan club, if there is one. But he deserved a pitch, you know, that inning previously. Then yesterday, you know, he was one out away from qualifying for a win. You know, finishing five, he was one out away from finishing the fifth, but, you know, he was in, you know, some trouble. And of course, you know, Jason Vargas, you can't trust him. And the Mets, you know, they for most of the game, they were losing 1-0. I think Harper knocked in that run. And it went all the way to about eighth inning when Gesellman came in the game and basically, you know, choked up a bit. I think he gave up at least three runs. And then, of course, Rame faced Rhys Hoskins, the name I mentioned about a minute or two ago. And what happened? He went yard against Jacob Rame, the same dude who almost hit at him, plunked him, whether it was intentionally or unintentionally, the same guy who almost plunked him in the game, he took him deep. And that home run trot, man, that home run trot, I don't even think he reached second base right now as I'm talking to you, because this guy took 34 seconds to run around the bases. And did he show up the opposition in Citi Field?
Wow.
That, man, and what can you say, man? I mean, I didn't like it, but hey, if you're Mickey Callaway and you put him, you make him face Rhys Hoskins the day after he had the incident with, and let's just say Jacob Rame has not lived up to the potential that the Mets have for him as a guy in their system. He's been up and down AAA and the majors for the past 2 years. They got him in the Granderson trade, for those of you scoring at home, but What could you say? You put him in the game, and he gave it up. And what can you do? He gave up the home run, and he hot dogged it. So if Mets did not want him to go deep on him, he should have pitched better.
Yeah.
But any case, you know, the Mets, you know, they had a opportunity to, you know, sweep the series, but you know, the offense did not show up yesterday. And what can you say? Now they got to try to win the series against the Brewers, and they're hoping Jacob DeGrom will be able to come off the DL and pitch tomorrow. But we'll find out soon enough.
You meant IL.
Oh, yes, IL. Yes. That's the word of the day. IL. But, yeah, what's your thoughts on the, you know, Mets-Philly situation?
Well, the Mets have been hitting this season for the most part. But the pitching, man, the pitching has not been that good. Like, besides DeGrom, I mean, Syndergaard has been shaky all season long, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Vargas, you don't know when you're going to get a good performance out of him. I mean, the pitching needs to improve, or, you know, they're going to lose the division to the Phillies, you know. Because right now, you know, Phillies, on paper, they're supposed to be the better team, you know.
Yep.
So, but the Mets haven't playing well, you know. But if the Mets want to be able to compete with the Phillies in the division, the pitching is definitely going to have to improve vastly. You know, you can't rely on DeGrom going every 5 days and pitching having a great start to carry. I mean, some of these other guys have to step up.
Yeah, very true. And even DeGrom's last two starts, he hasn't pitched well. But hopefully he can come back and, pitch well. I mean, you can't expect him to be Jacob DeGrom, you know, missing, what, 10 days and coming back. So there's going to be a little rust there. But hopefully it's good enough for Mets to get the W. And hopefully the offense can come back after taking 2 days off, because Mets had the day off today. And, of course, Wednesday they got shut out.
Right.
Yeah, they lost, I think, 6-0 yesterday. After they shut out the Phillies 9-0, the game two. So yeah, we'll see what happened with the Mets. And Gio Gonzalez, you know, he's not expected to start this series with the Brewers against the Mets, the other team that was rumored to be going after him. Apparently Mets didn't guarantee him a starting rotation spot. So, you know, basically he went with the guaranteed deal with the Brewers. You know, he signed a 2-year deal. I mean, actually a 1-year, $2 million deal. And then I think $2 million in incentives, you know. So of course, you know, he opted out of the deal with the Yankees a few days ago. I think it was Saturday. And he just signed with them yesterday. So time will tell if Mets made the right decision to stick with Vargas and not sign Gio Gonzalez, who obviously he's pitched a lot better for several years. These past 2 years he hasn't pitched all that great. But you know, well, then again, he hasn't even started this season yet. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
And you still got Dallas Keuchel still out there waiting to be signed.
I know. That's the guy Mets need to go after. But last time I heard, he wants at least 1 year, more than the 1 year, $17 million qualifying offer he would have gotten with the Astros. And or, a long-term deal. So he's holding out.
Yeah.
And, of course, Kimbrel's holding out as well. So who would have thought in late April these two guys would have been signed, you know?
Yeah.
This is the craziest offseason ever, man. Baseball well, now we're not even in the offseason. We're in the first month of baseball.
At
so.
The beginning season.
Yeah, so it's crazy. But as one season ends, another season is about to start in a few months, but the future starts now as the Jets, you know, they drafted Quinnen Williams out of Alabama. You know, a great defensive guy, you know, should him and Leonard Williams, who he's friends with, you know, they should form a good tandem, you know. So I think it's a good move for the Jets.
Yeah.
And then number one, I'm trying to remember. Number one was Kyler Murray. No surprise there. Two was 49ers drafted Nick Bosa. Of course, you know, the Giants drafted Josh Allen. Daniel Jones, right. Trying to remember who drafted Josh Allen. Because Josh Allen was I forgot what team drafted Josh Allen. But, you know, what's your...
Josh Allen was this year?
No, it's a different Josh Allen, not the quarterback one.
Oh, okay.
Because there was a quarterback. In last year's draft, there was a Josh Allen, if you saw them, they look different night and day. So,
oh, okay.
You know, but they have the same name. That's where the confusion is. But what are your thoughts about the draft?
You know, so far it's fitting the script, at least with the first few picks. But Giants, I thought they would go defense at that sixth pick. But they pick Daniel Jones. I've never heard of the guy, but I hear that, you know, he's a good quarterback. He's very athletic. He doesn't have a strong arm. He doesn't have a strong arm. Right here, he's a very athletic, you know, quarterback. So, you know, we'll see if he's the heir apparent to Eli. Whenever Eli retires, you know, and then hopefully we'll put him in there. But I like the Giants' other pick, Dexter Lawrence. I think he's going to be a great defensive player. You got him he's a defensive tackle. He'll help the Giants with the edge rushing. So that's good. That was a great pick, I think. For the most part, the draft has pretty much fit the script. You know, I expected the Cardinals to select Kyle Murray at number one, because right now the Cardinals desperately need a quarterback for that team, and they're hoping that he could be the next Mahomes, like what Mahomes did for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right. And he was recently drafted by the A's, the Oakland A's from baseball. But looks like right now he's just focused on his NFL career.
Yeah, multi-talented guy, two-sport player.
But, shifting gears, the basketball, you know, the Nets, they got eliminated. You know, they had a hard-fought season. You know, surprising people how far they, you know, how well they did in the regular season. But, you know, now the season is done. But the big question is, should they re-sign D'Angelo Russell and, of course, sign another superstar, say Durant or whoever they have in mind, or not re-sign them, even though he's been phenomenal for them, and just go after two superstars there? My thinking is, for them, I think they should re-sign D'Angelo Russell and then try to go after Durant, you know, because they have that camaraderie with him on the team. So I think he's a guy they should keep. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, they're definitely going to keep him. I mean, you know, after the year that he's had and helping them reach the playoffs, yeah. There's no question you have to bring him back. And then you then have to go after a guy like Durant, you know. And having Durant on this Nets team would definitely, you know, make them a championship-caliber team if they were able to get him.
Yeah. They just need to put a little bit more pieces here and there. But yeah, Durant is a difference maker. It's like putting LeBron James on the team. I mean, with the exception of the Lakers this year, you know, but, you know, a top five talent, you know, at the minimum, you know, you can't go wrong with that. That's a you know, a franchise changing guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm obviously, as Knicks fan, we're hoping he could come to the Knicks. You know, apparently he sold his Malibu house. And, of course, you know, there was reports weeks ago that he moved his company to New York. So, I guess, like we've been saying all this year and last year, or maybe the past couple of years, we'll wait and see what happened on July 1st, you know. But, yeah, the Warriors, they were – Warriors, I think they're at the brink. I'm trying to remember. Didn't they lose just the Warriors lost to the Clippers?
Yeah, they lost. So now going to Game 6 and back to L.A. So the Clippers have won two games in a series when everyone thought they would get swept. So they're making it look competitive.
Yeah, and if they tie up this series, man. Anything is possible. I mean, the Warriors. Normally, I would say, you know, if the Clippers do tie up the series in Game 6, they're going to automatically win Game 7. But, you know, the Warriors, man, they're battle tested. So, Warriors is one of the few teams that I could see they could bounce back. Even though, yes, they do have recent history in 2015 when they. No, 2016 is when they blew that 3-1 lead to the Cavaliers in the NBA, you know, the NBA Finals. But yeah, I think they'll hold on to it. They'll advance.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, they're not the artist favorites to win it all again. So
of course, and then another tough loss for. The Thunder, you know, Westbrook, you know, he's a walking triple double, but his team can't advance to the third past the first round. You know, this is third straight year in a row they've been knocked out, and Westbrook was PO'd. He was criticizing the quote unquote haters. You know, he's saying, you know, he has a beautiful life. You know. You know, he feels like he doesn't have anything to prove, and you know, he had a whole rant about how he, you know, about how, you know, some people perceive him. What do you think his perception? What is your perception of him if he doesn't win a title, or at the very least get out of this first round exit he's been having these couple of years?
Well, I mean, right now I don't know, man. It's right now there's a lot of talk of Russell Westbrook being overrated, him padding his stats, you know, him not being serious or taking, you know, bad shots. I mean, yeah, if he doesn't win the title, then he'll just be another very good player who didn't win the championship. But a lot of people will say he's selfish a bit. Which I do see, mm-hmm. You know, he does hog up, you know, he is a ball hog.
Mm-hmm.
Does shoot, unnecessary shots a lot of times. And, yeah, he's, you know, the main reason that they haven't gotten past the first round, you know.
Yeah.
These last several years. And also in this series against the Blazers, I mean, he got killed by
Damian Lillard.
Yeah, they literally had 50 points and the buzzer beater in that last game.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy.
It was Dame time.
Mm-hmm.
It was Dame time, man. Oh, man.
So, I mean, Russell Westbrook is going to have to change his game a bit. You know, for his team to move forward.
He's gonna have to pull a LeBron or his former teammate Durant and pull a super team, you know.
Oh, not a super team. I mean, he's just going to have to change his game a bit. You know, he's... Might have to stop taking bad shots or, you know, be a little more unselfish, I guess,
yeah.
You know?
And it should be easy for him since he's a walking triple-double. He gets assists, but like you said, it looks like, you know, statistics. You know, it's, you know, he's getting at least 10 assists, but it's just padded stats. You know, he's a very talented guy, you know. But, yeah, he definitely needs to share the ball. And that's weird for saying a guy who's a triple-double because, I mean, you know, he definitely has the ability to do it. I mean, this dude has like has seasons where he averages triple doubles. So
yeah.
I mean, it's just he just needs to do it. You know, that's it's just as simple as that.
Yeah.
And you see, what am I gonna say? Yeah, now I'm shifting to WWE. I guess before we talk about the Kofi and Kevin Owens thing, I guess let's talk about the Bray Wyatt and his new Firefly Funhouse. Yeah, I think that was the name of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Man, here's my initial thoughts when I saw it. I was like, what the heck? And then as I thought about it more since Tuesday on, I'm like, you know what? It's crazy, but I am kind of intrigued to see what they're going to do with it, you know? Because here's what would make it continuity how it would work. Because the last time we saw him, you know, on Raw or in a pay-per-view event, he was tag team feuding. Well, let me see. He fell into the lake of reincarnation. No, wait. No, that was when he... Wait a minute. Let me think. No, wait. When he fell into the lake of reincarnation, that was when he battled Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
So the only way they could make this canon is as if... Because after he became friends with him and disappeared... The effects were long term, and then it turned him to this guy because technically when he left, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to put headcanon to this storyline because he had a huge break, you know, from when he was tag teaming with Matt Hardy, which now Matt Hardy is rehabilitated and now he's I think he's the tag team champion with his brother Jeff on SmackDown now.
Yeah,
but yeah, I guess the only way how it could work is, you know, after he fell into the lake of reincarnation battling Bray Wyatt, you know, he became a good guy, which, you know, of course, which resulted in him teaming up with him. And then during the break, you know, he fully turned even more of a good guy and into this Mr. Rogers meet Pee Wee, you know, Herman character. Or most likely it could be, ruse, him pretending to be, you know, this happy-go-lucky nice guy, but in reality he's even more sinister than ever, because if you saw, on his gloves, one hand says hurt, and one of the other hand says heal, which kind of reminded me of Radio Raheem from Do the Right Thing. His brass knuckles said love, and I think the other one said hate. So maybe, you know, he's trying to deceive the children into thinking that he's this nice guy, but in actuality, he's even more sinister than ever.
Yeah, I don't know which way WWE is going with this character. Yeah, I'm looking forward to see, you know, what more we're going to get to see out of this Bray Wyatt. It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
You know,
and another thing. Another thing. You know, he had the final reveal what that creepy bird was. It was Mercy the Buzzard. And the witch is Abby the Witch, which is, of course, Sister Abigail. But what the rumors is that possibly Abby the Witch might be Nikki Cross, since she's not drafted, you know, of course, formerly of Sanity. She might be Sister Abigail. And I guess either Eric Young or Eric Rowan might be the Mercy the Buzzard, you know. So I guess that's worth paying attention to, you know, if those two wrestlers become the personification of those puppets that he's, you know, he has on the show. But all will be revealed soon.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if he keeps up with this character and, you know, what this in character, you know, what exactly we should expect from this character, you know?
Oh, yeah, and another point, Mercy, the Buzzard, is most likely an homage to the former WWE superstar, or then WWF superstar, Waylon Mercy, who Bray Wyatt credits, you know, barring his being inspired by his gimmick, which, of course, Waylon Mercy was inspired by the Camp Fears character, you know, played by Robert De Niro. So
yeah,
there's that little homage to Waylon Mercy. But, yeah, the other news is Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods being betrayed by Kevin Owens, the betrayer of betrayers. And I'll call it, man. You called it from the get go that he was gonna turn on them.
Yeah, I thought it was gonna happen last week, actually, when they first paired them up with New Day. You know, I had a feeling that Kevin Owens was gonna pull something, but they waited until this week to do it. Which, you know, which makes sense because you wanna, you know, create the, you know, set up a match between him and Kevin Owens, you know, and I thought that's what they were going to do. But, yeah, I mean, it was a perfect way to, you know, initiate a match between them. And I think they'll have a great match at this upcoming pay-per-view.
Yep, and here's the signs. One, Kevin Owens, he betrays everybody. He betrayed Sami Zayn, who he's been real-life friends with for at least 13, 14 years, even before they were in WWE. You got two, the Festival of Friendship, you know, where he infamously betrayed Chris Jericho. And then now, on Tuesday night SmackDown, he turns on them, which I kind of sensed it just before he turned on them because, you know, he just tossed out, I think, who are they fighting? Rusev and Nakamura.
Right.
So they were out of danger. And then out of nowhere, he super kicked them a la Shawn Michaels, you know, in the barbershop to Jannetty.
Yep.
And another thing is, they kept referring to him as an honorary member of New Day. When you're an honorary member, usually you just last that one day or one episode or whatever, and you're back to normal. This was the longest honorary member of all time until he betrayed them. So they knew, how is this union going to last?
Yeah.
And to me, what were you going to say?
Oh no! I was gonna say, yeah. I mean, it was a perfect setup, you know, for them to you know, initiate a match between them. But yeah, I mean, it's gonna be interesting now to see. Now you have what's his face out, Biggie's out, and now you have I forget his name now. The other New Day member, his name.
Xavier Woods.
Xavier Woods, yeah. He got injured by Kevin Owens, so he might be out also. So you might have a Kofi Kingston by himself fighting against Kevin Owens.
Right, with that power bomb. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, another thing people didn't notice is that Jinder Mahal is back on SmackDown, so I'm thinking this is basically they're using Jinder Mahal to shockingly upset Xavier Woods, because you could clearly see there Vince McMahon views him as a transitional champion. Then once Jinder Mahal beats Kofi, then Roman Reigns will come in as the white and, you know, shining the knight in white shining armor to win the title back, because obviously if Roman Reigns beat Kofi, nobody's going to cheer for Roman Reigns,
right,
even though he's as popular as he was. He's almost as popular as he was when the Shield originally happened. But yeah, that's basically it. You have anything you want to say quickly?
Just check out my show IMAC on Saturday at 11 when it walks over you.
All right, you heard the guy. Check out his show. Check out this show every Saturdays at 11. Check out my YouTube show, Sports of the Lincoln TV. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Rameau, and I'll see you guys next time. Peace.